Good morning, JT.
Good morning.
Oh, my, there's a terrible buzz in your phone. Are you on speakerphone?
No, I am not now.
Oh, okay.
Tell you what, let me try it. But I have a cordless phone that may be better. Hold
okay,
on.
Okay, you just call us back there. That sounds like a great idea. We'll look for JT's call. See if we can get JT on a better line. The Mary Griffith Show underway, brought to you by Hilbing Auto Body. If it happens to you, take it to Hilbing. We have these technical glitches every now and then, but hopefully we can get a good, solid phone line from JT. We always used to say you have to call from a landline phone, but who the heck has a landline anymore? So we'll see if we can get JT to dial 223-9300, and we'll see if we can get him indeed on the phone. Is it going to work this time, JT?
Hey, it sounds better already.
Oh, boy, does it ever. Thank you so very much for making that switch. Well, that glitch is behind us now, and we're underway. And let's talk about Project Red Ribbon. Very simply put, it's a visual reminder, isn't it?
That is correct. It's a visual reminder to everyone to not drink and drive, not only during the holiday season, but throughout the year.
And, of course, we kind of target the Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's holiday. And there is a tradition tonight. I don't think you're in favor of it. It's called Drunksgiving. This is a night when actually many, many people go out with friends and family on a Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. And some call it Blackout Wednesday. There's actually an effort to get as snockered as possible. This is not a good idea, is it, JT?
Especially in a COVID environment, but never. I would not recommend that for anyone. Now, keep in mind, if that is your activity, not that we recommend that, that's your business. Just don't drive. Make it smart. But if you, hey, this is a good on a party, have a good time, see my old buddies, see how we can tie one on in the old-fashioned term. That's your choice. If you're an adult, if you're legally can consume alcohol, simply do not get behind the wheel of your car. You can have someone be the designated driver for that event. Call a cab. Get a Lyft driver to take you home. Do all this at your friend's house, and you spend the night there. This is not a time to be drinking and driving at any time. So if that's your to-do list tonight, make sure driving is not on that list.
The Mothers Against Drunk Driving movement. How did you get involved in this, JT? I mean, you've been involved for years.
just a few. Almost as many years as I claim to be aged. Over 30 years ago, a local people got together to help organize a local MAD chapter, and I thought this might be an opportunity to. It could be interesting. So I came to some of the first meetings in order to try and do heard some presentations about the problems with drinking and driving. And I thought, okay, this is interesting. And I went to some more meetings. And somewhere, that's I guess the first meeting I went to was maybe the summertime, late spring or midsummer. And then in the fall, the president of the club went to one of the new members and asked if they would kind of would share this Red Ribbon program. And the other person kind of declined, kind of paused. He didn't run with it. And I said, well, you know, maybe I could do that. And so we did that, and that actually goes back. I looked up some of my notes, and that our first Project Red Ribbon here in the Quincy area, our first kickoff was November 21st, 1988, with Mayor Hagstrom, and I believe that was Chief Wilson, and they tied on the first ribbons to their vehicles as a start of the campaign. And this past Monday, with Mayor Moore and Chief Copley, we had our 33rd kickoff for Project Red Ribbon here in the Quincy area.
A fantastic accomplishment. JT Dozier, my guest today, you're in the insurance business for your line of work when you're not volunteering for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Things have changed dramatically in the world of enforcement against drunk driving. It used to be, oh, the cop would pull you over and say, hey, let me take you home, or, you know, call your wife or whatever. Now they're cracking down. They have zero tolerance, and that has made people a little bit less likely to drink and drive because the penalties are so harsh.
Part of what's been doing to turn around the problem with drinking and driving is it's been, you know, multifold. One, it has been, you know, public awareness, projects like Project Red Ribbon. It's also been, you know, the media to help get the word out, hey, this is not the thing to do. But law enforcement also has a major piece of this. Our local governments have enacted laws to make driving safer by wanting to reduce drunk drivers on the road. And so the penalties and the consequences for drinking and driving are very severe. If you are an underage drinker and are driving, your BAC rate has to be zero. If you're anything over zero, you're suspended. I mean, and what a way to get the word across to young people. Hey, if you think about drinking and driving almost, you're going to lose your driving privileges. And when we were all very young and first starting to drive, that was the greatest form of freedom we had. So there's a very strong incentive for young people to make the right decision and not drink and drive. They shouldn't be drinking at all. But no, so this is a lot of penalties there. And for adults, the consequences are very severe. You will lose your driving privileges. This is what the summary suspension. If you fail your BAC test, field test, if you refuse your test, you're suspended. So it's not worth it to drink and drive. The risk far outweighs, and the consequences far outweighs, you know, the whatever pleasure or joy that you might derive from drinking and driving. Probably the biggest problem is, I can drive home. I'm okay. I just had a few. Those are the people who are causing a problem. Or I like to refer to the office party DUI. You're at some social event, and you've been had a few drinks, and you know you think you're fine, but you're not. You are impaired, and any alcohol consumption can cause an impairment, which can lead to, you know, being stopped, can lead to arrest. It can lead to a conviction and fines and penalties. It even can lead to a crash, which can bring about injury or death. So, it's just not worth it.
And not to mention the attorney's fees, because people that try to fight this because they say, I can't lose my license, I'll lose my job, or I can't do, you know, I need my license. It is extremely costly. And that really... it's kind of a sad commentary, but the moral issue of you just shouldn't do it because it's not appropriate to drink and drive, you have to hit him in the pocketbook for it to really matter, don't you, JT?
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Well, actually, I did some research. I looked up the actual numbers, and Illinois has a DUI fact book, which comes out every year. Normally, there's a bit of a lag time from when they get the data and they publish the book. And so in the 2020 book, here's some things they talk about. It says, the additional, we're not talking about the insurance, that's what I do. Yeah, if you come in and say, oh, by the way, I had a DUI in the last several years, oh, yeah, okay, well, a lot of companies just aren't going to talk to you. And the ones that will talk to you, that's the same as having an at-fault accident. Even if there wasn't a crash, it's the same as having an at-fault accident as far as the pricing. There's extra costs there. That the your legal fees, they estimate to be $2,000. They estimate your court cost, including the fine, of up to $2,500, another cost, that could be as much as $3,600. And then if you're spending time being incarcerated or spending time, you know, going to your court appearances, your boss is probably not going to be real understanding and keep wanting to pay you for that time off. So you have a loss of income. Also, you may have to take some special training courses to say, hey, you've got to learn, you didn't get the message. We have to help educate you not to do this again. That does not come without expense. And then if you lose your license, which is probably going to happen, you got to pay a $500 reinstatement fee. Also you might have to install a device in your vehicle that checks your blood alcohol content before you can turn on the car. So they don't, you have to pay the rent on that, and they pay to have that installed. So it could be, you know, as much as $15,000 to $20,000 extra cost between loss of income and all these expenses for a DUI arrest.
And so we definitely don't want anyone to have to go through that, and especially we don't want anyone to hurt themselves or another innocent person. And that's why the Red Ribbon Campaign has been going on since 1988. Where can we pick up these red ribbons to affix to our car, to the antenna or the door handle, or wherever we want?
Well, there's several places that traditionally would be inside the city hall or inside the police department. So we had to kind of rethink this year because those areas are not open to the public. So just outside of city hall, where we come from the Main Street parking lot, there's a little basket attached to the handrail. And then there you'll find ribbons. The police department has a basket, and they were going to attach it just outside their main entrance. I also realized people used to come into the city hall to pay their utility bill. Well, that's not available now, but there is a drive-up facility for bill paying just to the south of city hall, and they have ribbons. So you can go to any of those locations to pick up a free red ribbon. Most of the banks have received their ribbons. You can go to your local bank or credit union. I've got about two more stops to do to finish up all the banks and credit unions here in Quincy. But ask your bank, and many of them will have them at their drive-up because many bank lobbies are currently closed, and say, do you have any ribbons here? Our plan is, again, we've had to keep modifying the project due to COVID, is that school children of the eighth grade will be receiving ribbons. Well, the schools will get the ribbons next week. We've been kind of holding off on that to see how the school situation is. I'm happy to report so far we've been able to keep the schools open for in-person learning or in-school learning, which everyone agrees that's the best way to educate students. So our plan is to have each eighth grade student receive a ribbon sometime next week. In the past, we give away to other grades, but our supply of ribbons was reduced this year. So we had, okay, well, let's just focus on this group. So it is a, you know, so the ribbons will be available out there.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you've got it covered. We could either pick it up in a basket on the city police side on 8th Street or the Main Street side of City Hall, go through the drive-through to pay your bill at City Hall and get a ribbon, or go through the drive-through at your local bank. And remember, folks, put that red ribbon on as a visual reminder to you and to everyone else not to drink and drive. It's not a temperance movement. It's an anti-drinking and driving movement.
Exactly.
Okay. JT, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it, and we will talk to you soon. Have a great Thanksgiving, you and Sherry. Is anybody coming home?
My youngest daughter lives here in town.
Right.
And so, but my oldest daughter is hoping to, who lives out of town, actually out of country, her and her husband and their twin daughters, the plan was for them to visit over Christmas. As much as we love to see all of them, we want them to stay safe and healthy, and so that is yet to be determined.
Okay. Well, you know, these are things that I know you want to see those twins, but we've got to be safe. Thank you so much, JT Dozier.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh,
come to
AeroCamp
Machine when you need help with machinery repair or when you need help with the making of new parts. AeroCamp's machinists, welders, mechanics, and fabricators have been helping local.
for the holidays. I believe I've missed each and every face. Come on and play one easy. Let's turn on every love light in the place. It's time I found myself totally surrounded in your circles. Oh, oh my friends, please celebrate me home. Give me a number, please celebrate.
Celebrating us home as we head into the Thanksgiving holiday. For many people, it will be a holiday at home, not traveling over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house. It will be a time, just as we heard from J.T. Dozier, his daughter, I think, lives in Germany, and so he won't be seeing her anytime soon or the twins, but we all make do. Joining me today is Debbie Moore, and she's a member of the So Essentials team that is trying to make masks for every single student in the Adams County Public School System. Good morning.
Good morning. And not only the students, but the whole staff.
The whole staff.
The whole staff.
And This started out such a brilliant idea. You're going to get everybody together at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
All this work was going to be done in
math. Exactly.
And then restrictions.
Right, right. Then restrictions came.
Yeah, because now you can't gather in large groups to sew.
No.
And a lot of people, I think, thought the only way they could help was to sew, and
exactly.
That's not true.
No, sewing is just a small portion of it.
So Today we're going to try to get people interested in helping with this Mask Up project, which the Kiwanis Club started, right?
Well, the Sew Essentials and Kiwanis together started it together, and Quincy Medical Group has helped fund it for us, along with some money from Blessing. And we've had lots of interest. We've got 16,000 masks to make, and currently I think we're right at about 12,000.
Wow, so you've done quite a bit.
Oh, we've started delivering.
Let's talk about the mask itself, because, of course, one size does not fit all when it comes to a student mask.
No.
A kindergartner and a senior in high school have different needs, different shapes of their face, different requirements, and so you are trying to, as much as possible, not custom fit to each student, but custom fit to an age group or a size.
Or a size.
Just like you would go to the store and buy a size 3 or a size 6 or whatever.
Right.
Kids, you know, will get a mask that's appropriate that fits them.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And we're using 3 different sizes and adjustable earpieces, and it does help. But quite honestly, you could have the smallest little head and be a senior in high school, and a very large head and be just in second grade. So it really doesn't have much to do with your age. People's faces are just shaped differently.
Okay. And the one thing that I really like about some of the masks you're making, maybe not all of them, they have a clear piece of plastic, impermeable plastic across, so that you can still see your lips move and if you're smiling.
Exactly.
This is really important in the school setting.
Mm-hmm.
The students need to know their teacher is encouraging them, smiling at them.
Mm-hmm.
They need to see her lips move. Are all the masks going to be made with the clear plastic, or just some?
No, just some of them are. A number of speech pathologists need them. We've already placed a lot of them in the schools. A number of the teachers already have the clear shields, so they won't necessarily need them as much.
Right.
So, no, some of them are and some of them aren't.
Okay. But it's a brilliant idea, because one of the things that has happened, when you're out and about, my masks, the one I like the most it happens to be a St. Louis Cardinal logo. That's part of the reason I like it, but it really covers. I mean, it is full coverage. And so just barely my eyes are sticking out, you know?
Exactly.
And it's very difficult to gauge facial expressions in the mask. But I will say, all the people who said in March, little kids won't wear a mask, you'll never get little kids to do it. I go to Quincy Medical Group a lot because I have to check in all the time for what is wrong with me this week. And those little kids wear those masks. They keep that social distance. They stand on that little green place on the floor. They are trained. They get it.
Exactly. We made a video, Quincy Medical Group, and a number of Kiwanians, and I made a video on how to be a superhero. And it's for the kids. And Roy Webb was in it. Joe Hemming was in it. It's a darling little video, and it's teaching kids with a cape. We had a cape. You too could be a superhero, and you just need to be kind, wash your hands, and wear a mask, and you can be a superhero.
So, folks, this is possible for you to do and for you to help. So we're going to take a break. We're going to head up to the IRSA Farmers Cooperative, and when we come back, Debbie Moore is going to tell us how you can get involved if you don't know how to sew. That is not an impediment. She has a job for you, and we'll learn about it in just a moment. 941.
Come on and play one easy. Let's turn on every love light in the place. It's time I found myself totally surrounded in your circles. Oh, oh my friend.
Little Thanksgiving song here as we celebrate heading into Thanksgiving. 15 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour. Debbie Moore is here from Sew Essentials, and she and her sewing friends have decided they're going to make 16,000 masks for every student, every staff member, every teacher in the school system in Adams County. Yes, that's a lot of masks to make. Now, if you're saying, I don't know how to sew, I couldn't possibly help, that's not true. So, Debbie, can you describe, you have a little packet.
Kits.
And mm-hmm. the
you
people.
You can pick them up in the foyer area at Emerald City Jewelers. There's like a little atrium there that you walk through, so you don't have to go into their jewelry store, but there is tubs there, and on those tubs it'll say an assembly kit or a cutting kit or a sewing kit. And then there's the fourth one that's the drop-off. So you can pick up one of those kits. Let's just start with the cutting kit. The cutting kit will have fabric in it, and it will also have a hard mat, the size of the piece that we'd like the fabric to be cut in, like a 5x7 or 8x10, whatever that is that we need that mass size. And you just cut the fabric that size and return it to the drop-off bin. After you've done the cutting, if you want to continue to cut more, you grab another bag of cutting. Or if you want to be an assembler, and that's the job that really is very fun for kids, or a family type of event, an assembler takes the squares that have been cut, and we try and do a reversible mask so that one side is a pattern and another side is usually a solid. And so you can pick from any of the fabric that's in your bag, and you can match up two of them and put them down right sides together. And then we put the little ear pieces that are already pre-cut and ready to go in your bag. We put those down on the fabric, put the other piece of fabric on top of it, and we have the directions right in there. And then we use these little clamps that kind of look like a clothespin. We don't use pins. We just use these tiny little things that look like a clothespin, and we use four of them per mask, and it secures where you put the elastic. So you take that, and you pin it right there to secure the elastic.
Wow, that couldn't be any easier because you don't have to pin through it with a straight pin.
No, not at all.
So you're basically inside out attaching the earpiece to the fabric, and you're just clipping it so that a sewer then will be able to sew through that.
Right. And then, and any child, I'm telling you, a five-year-old can do this. And that really is the most important part of this whole project. You know, we could buy masks for these kids much cheaper than making these masks. They wouldn't be as good, and they wouldn't fit maybe as well. But we're creating memories. We're teaching the next generation how to dive in and help. And that's what this is all about. These kids will remember making that mask with grandma or mom and dad or just sitting around the table watching a movie making masks.
And the great thing about it is they can make one for themselves out of the fabric they choose. And then when they go to school, they may be wandering in the hall and say, oh, there's a mask I made.
Exactly.
There is a mask I made.
Exactly.
So it is really, there's been a lot of controversy about what is a safe mask. Now, if I'm in surgery at Blessing Hospital, I'm not going to have my nurse wearing a mask that was made by So Essentials and the volunteers of the Kiwanis Club. We're going to have the N95 and the, you know. But for the average person out at the grocery store, two layers of fabric, appropriately tight enough that it covers your nose and your mouth, that's all you need. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, we understand that virus droplets could escape from there. They are microscopic. But you're just doing your best to form a barrier.
Exactly. And you want to make sure that it's clean.
And so these are washable because...
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I've seen some really nasty masks.
Well...
I mean, some people just don't understand. You really do have to wash that. Well, you wouldn't wear your underwear the same day over and over again.
Yeah. But if you've ever put one on when you had makeup on and then you go to take it off and you think... Holy moly, good grief.
That would never happen to me. My complexion is so flawless, I don't need any embellishments, as you well know, Debbie.
I still foolishly put on lipstick like I'm going to go somewhere.
Well, you know, it's so funny with the mask on. It has been great.
Yeah,
you know, it's like you never have to
wax anymore.
Don't even have to worry about it.
No waxing.
We're going to, when they come out, this is going to be a whole group of bearded ladies who appear. They'll have to all run to the salon at one time. I love it.
I have to tell you, though, there are thousands of
Get a little bit closer to your microphone.
There's thousands of different types of masks. So ideally, you need to find what mask fits you and fits you the best. The mask that has kind of like a string around it, almost like a surgeon's mask, it's the one that I have right here, is the mask that really fits me the best. And it's very easy. You just pull it up.
A surgeon does.
Exactly. And you're ready to go. People who fuss about their hair don't like it because, you know, it's a string in their head. But that's the mask that fits my face the best.
Right. I don't mind it behind my ears. I've never really had to mask up for, you know, any more than 3 hours. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't find that but I do know that part of the problem, I think, when this really started, I think people had ill-fitting masks made out of materials that were not flexible.
Right.
And so it hurt their ears, it hurt their nose, it hurt everything. And they thought, well, that's what a mask is. And you can find a mask that will fit you much better.
Exactly. And many of us, because we were hurrying in the very beginning, we were grabbing anything to make it out of, and we were trying to get them into the frontline workers, you know, nursing homes, veterans homes, wherever we could. Many of the fabrics didn't get pre-washed. So then when it took its first washing, it was a third of the size or a half the size it was originally, and it seemed extremely uncomfortable to people. And it's because it shrank. Or the earpieces. We've gone a long way. Like, we've come a long way, baby.
Come a long way, baby.
Yeah, on those earpieces, there were times when we were literally using bra straps. You know, elastic from, you know, that we could find in bed sheets that were donated from hotels. I mean, we've come a long way.
Mm-hmm. You've improved on it very much, to say the least.
There will be a, I'm sure, some kind of museum of the masks at some point in time.
Well, I've already started to save some of my stuff as a news reporter because I know that the Historical Society will want to do a 10-year retrospective.
Exactly.
So I sit here as part of history, recording history. Mm-hmm. And it is so funny because I remember when we had 40 cases, just 40 reported cases in Adams County. We're like, wow, there's 40 people that have it. And now... we have 4,500 people who've either had it and recovered. It's just amazing how it has become a pandemic. So go to Emerald City Jewelers, 33rd and Broadway, that you can get a cutting.
Mm-hmm.
You can do cloth cutting kit. You can do the assembly kit, or you can do the sewing kit if you would like.
We could really use some sewers if there are any out there.
So, and you can do all three if you want and take it from top to bottom. Just get the all three kits because they have what you need. Okay, is there anything else people need to know, anything else before I let you go?
I would tell you that prior to this project, Linda Moore, another So Essential, and I probably didn't realize the scope to which Kiwanians do for children. And they have truly stepped up to the plate to the point where Linda and I have become Kiwanians. We joined the Golden K Kiwanians so that we could be considered Golden Girls.
Kiwanis does a great
job. Oh, my gosh.
Their motto, we build. I mean, and they do. They build the community from the little K clubs that they have in the grade schools. I know,
yes,
you know.
I never ever realized all that they did. It's heartwarming. It really is. They want kids to know.
It's heartwarming that someone like you would team up with them, you know, and use your talents. And so I really appreciate that. I mean, it has taken a lot of people, an awful lot, to do this. And I know there are people who have made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of masks and just given away to
That's
family
great.
Or friends. So
yeah.
It's very important. Thank you so very much.
Oh,
have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. It's
good to see you.
See
I haven't you. Seen you in... We knew each other when we were young.
back in the Hannibal days.
Back in the day, baby.
I won't tell anybody.
We won't go any further into that.